any time, but especially preparing for next week, there was two boys that entered into the a dentist office. One of the boys stepped up and looked at the dentist and said, "Hey, I want a tooth taken out. Don't want any gas. Don't want it deadened. We're in a hurry." And the dentist acknowledged that, looked at the young man, and he said, "You know what, you're a brave young man." And he then started to ask him, he said, "Hey, which tooth?" The young man turned to his friend and said, "Hey, Adam, which tooth is it?" All right, now, tonight as we start, don't be like that friend and be looking at your neighbor and saying, "Hey, he needs it." Instead, look at yourself. As we look at this topic, we're going to talk about a cure for the spiritually hard of hearing. A cure for the spiritually hard of hearing. You're in Matthew chapter 13. I'm going to read a couple other verses. In Matthew chapter 11, verse 15, it says, "He that hath ears to hear, let him hear." Mark 4, verse 9 says, "And he said unto them, He that hath ears to hear, let him hear." Mark 4, 23, "If any man have ears to hear, let him hear." Mark 7, 16, "If any man have ears to hear, let him hear." Mark 8, verse 18, Jesus talking said, "Having eyes, see ye not? Having ears, hear ye not? And do ye not remember?" And then Luke 8 is a parallel passage to Matthew 13. And it says again, "He that hath ears to hear, let him hear." Then in Luke 9 and verse 44, it says, "Let these sayings sink down into your ears," not your heart, right? "Into your ears, for the Son of Man shall be delivered into the hands of men." And Luke 14, Jesus says again, "He that hath ears to hear, let him hear." And in Acts, the book of Acts, a couple of times, it's the same idea is presented. Stephen, when he was talking in his sermon, said, "Ye stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears." And then it says in Acts 7, 57, at the end of Stephen's message, they cried out with a loud voice and stopped their ears and ran upon him with one accord. Paul in Acts 28 says, "For the heart of this people is waxed gross and their ears are dull of hearing." So what we're going to look at is the idea that Jesus gives to us in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. And he says, if you got ears, use them. That's what he's telling you. You're spiritually hard of hearing. The story is told of Franklin Roosevelt. If you didn't know, he was a president of the United States way back. He's probably one of the worst ones. He was a philanderer, and he was just kind of a bum. It's why we have a lot of the problems. If you read about his life history, he took advantage of some situations and created the mess that we are in. But Franklin Roosevelt was actually very popular, though, in America. Very popular. And there was a lot of times at the White House long receiving lines. He complained one time, though, that no one really paid attention in the receiving lines. They were just coming through. He would shake their hands. They really didn't care about seeing him or what he said. So he decided to try an experiment one time as the receiving line was coming through. And as people were coming through, he just murmured quietly, "Hey, I murdered my grandma this morning." And they would come by and he'd say, "Hey, I murdered my grandma this morning." And he kept on doing that the whole time. And he said it was amazing because he'd just murmur it. "I murdered my grandmother this morning. I murdered my grandma this morning." And they would come by and he said it was amazing. People would just say, "Hey, God bless you. Hey, good job. Keep up the good work." All kinds of things. And they were like, "Marvelous. We're proud of you." And all kinds. And it was finally at the end of the line, the ambassador of Bolivia came by, and it was the only person to actually hear him. The ambassador of Bolivia was coming by, and he leaned over and said, "Hey, I murdered my grandmother this morning." And he stopped because he heard it, and he said, "Hey, I'm sure she had it coming." All right, that was the only... only one that heard it. Well, that test was showing that people many times don't listen. They're not hearing. And in our text here in Matthew chapter 13, we'll start in verse 9. Starting in verse 9. Matthew 13 and verse 9. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. The disciples came and said unto him, Why speakest thou unto them in parables? He answered and said unto them, Because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to them it is not given. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. But whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away, even that he hath. I'm going to pause here, then we're going to pick up again. But I want to pause here in verse 11 and 12, because this is a great misunderstanding when it comes to parables. Notice what Jesus said here. It's pretty much opposite of what most people think. Most people think that Jesus spoke in parables to make it very common so the unsaved could hear. That's not what the text says. That's where people get in trouble, when you decide without understanding what the Bible says. Actually, what it says is he made it harder for the unsaved to understand. If you read the text and you read the parallel passage, that's what Jesus was saying. And I'm stopping there because that happens often in church, and it happens in pulpits, because what you want is just to take something and say, hey, this is what it means, without really the Bible saying it. And we need to be careful of that. We need to be careful of taking a passage. In fact, when Brother Cloud was here, we went out to eat one afternoon, and Pastor Lewis was here, so I said, hey, why don't you come along? And we were sitting there talking, and Pastor Lewis was like, man, Brother Cloud, you know, I wish we could be like the 70s and 80s. Both he and I just turned and looked at him and said, what are you talking about? They created our problem. He's like, well, what are you talking about? He said, you know what they did? They're like, hey, we're going to do this. And they created all of these things and they made it up. And then after they were down the road, they're like, hey, you know what? We need a scripture. So they ran back and just yanked something out of context and said, that's, you know what, we do this. Oh, yeah. Oh, by the way, we should probably look at the Bible. And what we should do as Christians is go to the Bible first. And then what the Bible tells us to do, whether we like it or not, that's what we do. We don't come up with an idea or a philosophy and then say, man, I really like this. Now let's tie some scripture to it. That's how cults are started. That's how weird beliefs and weird doctrines get started. We go to the scriptures. Now notice in verse 13, therefore speak I to them in parables, because they seeing, see not, and hearing, they hear not, neither do they understand. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, by hearing ye shall hear and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see and shall not perceive. For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and should understand with their heart and should be converted, and I should heal them. It almost sounds like Jesus doesn't want them saved. Now, we know scripturally, Jesus wants all to come to what? Repentance. What he wants them to do is come to a place of repentance, and what that means is turning from their wicked ways. And turning from their wicked ways is one way, the way God does that is by changing their heart. He goes straight inside, and when he gets a hold of their heart, he changes their thinking. The Bible here is telling us that we should have ears to hear. So I'm going to do two different points with this idea of curing us of spiritual heart of hearing. So how do we get rid of it? First, there's some preparation we must do, and then we're going to take a prescription. All right? And my prescription is only 3 pills. All right, some of you, that's nothing compared to your daily allotment. All right, and so it is nothing. I'll try to keep the pill small, okay? But the preparation needed for the spiritual heart of hearing. Well, in our text here in verse 9, who hath ears to hear, let him hear. You'll see in the other verses in Mark and in Luke, it said, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. Now, this sounds really simple. Okay, but what is the preparation we must have? Well, requirement is I must have the ability to hear. Sounds, again, silly. I've got to have ears. Got to have ears. Now, what does that mean for you and I spiritually? Spiritually, the ability to hear means that I must know God. I've got to know God. Why doesn't, well, some of you get really irritated at the world. Man, they just love the world. Well, actually, they are the world. They like it because they don't know God. Now, what irritates me is when Christians love the world. Christians are supposed to be different. We're supposed to be, but what happens is we get all mad at the world. I mean, they like sin. Duh. But you shouldn't. You're a Christian. You know God. But what happens? You get away from Him. You get away from God and you're not listening to Him anymore. I must know God. In fact, isn't that what the Bible says in John chapter 10? I'll just read the, most of you know the section in John chapter 10 is one of the I am's. Jesus said, I am the door in this passage. And He also says, I am the good shepherd. But in verse 4, He says, and when the shepherd putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of that stranger. You know why some of you don't follow God? You don't know Him. I don't care what you say. And I'm not here trying to get you to doubt your salvation, but when you have no remorse of your sin, and you will not repent of your sin, and you just wallow in it, you have no fruit. And I'm sorry, you don't know the Bible, because the only verse that it seems the world knows is, judge not that you be not judged. And Jesus tells me that I'm going to know you by your fruit. There's a whole lot of verses that tell me that I look at your life, and that way I know if you're a Christian. It's going to come out. I'm not going to be able to hide it, because He's inside and He's changing me. And that's what happens when you know God. When you know God, you know His voice. You can hear Him. You can hear Him talking to you. The second thing that helps me in having an ability to hear is actually found in the book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 4, it says in verse 2, for unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them. It's talking to about the Hebrews, written to the book of Hebrews, written to the Hebrews. But the word preached did not profit them. Now notice why. Not being mixed with faith and them that heard it. So what helps me? What do I need to prepare? How can I prepare myself? Well, I got to get to know God. All right? And then I have to build my faith. Because the Bible says that my hearing will increase as I build my faith. So how do you build my faith? So then faith cometh by hearing. And hearing by what? The Word of God. The more you get in the book, the stronger you're going to be. And that's why some of you don't hear God. Why? Because you pick this up like a rosary. What do I mean by that? Well, in the morning, and I believe in habits. I understand that. I like training my children. We talk about training your children to have habits. I agree with that. But as I mature in my Christian life, this can't just be a habit. It needs to be something that I long for. I can't live without it. I've got to hear His voice. He's got to be talking to me. And some of you, it's been so long since God talked to you, you can't recognize his voice anymore. You recognize the voice of the devil, and you recognize the voice of the world, and you recognize the voice of other people, other friends, more than you do your God. We're not listening. Why? Because we got away from the book. And the book is going to build my faith. I have to have faith. Another preparation. And this is, again, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. Right in that phrase. It means that I've got to hear. So that means I've got to listen. Now, most of you, I read a funny story of a married couple. And they had been married like 45, 50 years. And they're like, man, what's the secret? What's the secret of your marriage? They're like, hey, you got to learn to listen. You got to learn to talk. They're like, well, yeah. The lady said, yeah. When he talks, I don't listen. And he said, yeah. And when she talks, I don't listen. And we've been happily married for 45 years. Now, Bill understands that. I think he's outside. That's why he's out there. I think he's volunteered often now for garden. Oh, Bill. Oh, there you are. Oh, there you are. Sorry, Bill. I saw you over there. I noticed he's sitting over there. All right, and that's why he's getting a lot out of this message. But we have to learn to listen. We got to learn to listen. And another man, he was talking with his friend, and he said, man, my wife talks a lot to herself. Said one man to another, and the other man said, yeah, my wife does too. She just doesn't know it. She thinks I'm listening. All right, but we have to listen. Listening. We've all experienced that. We've all had times where maybe your spouse is saying something to you, and man, you're engrossed in something, and a week later, 2 weeks later, you're like, hey, you ready for that? Like, what? What are you talking about? Like, yeah, well, I told you. Like, no, you didn't. All right, and that right there, man, you're in this big argument because you're like, yeah, I told you. No, you didn't. All right, and it comes around later that, of course, in my situation, no, she didn't. You know what I mean? I'm just being honest. But we have to learn to listen. And that happens in a lot of areas. That happens with our children. We know that. You know, you'll say something, and you'll come back, you're like, hey, you didn't listen to me. Well, in the same way, that's what happens to us. We have got to prepare ourselves walking into church, walking into our devotional life. We've got to prepare ourselves and say, God, this isn't just a habit. This isn't just a good luck charm in the morning. I've got to listen for God to speak to me. So then, what is the alternative to not hearing God? You don't hear him, you lose his blessing. You lose his instruction. You lose his guidance. And basically, you're going on your own. That's the alternative. The Bible tells us that we should listen. So we're going to get a prescription now. So how do we get a prescription for the spiritually hard of hearing? Three pills. I made them vitamin B pills for you, all right? Vitamin B pills that we can all take, smaller. And again, as some of you, this is a lot less than you normally take. It's kind of like the old style radio. Over the weekend, I was staying at a hotel and I was trying to set the alarm clock. And it was the old school radio. And it's one that the gunk gets in the volume control. And you're just, yes. And I wasn't. Teenagers now, you're like, oh yeah, I knew it. No. But I was trying to get it so the buzzer would go off. And it's just, the gunk was in there. And then it had the old school dial. You know, not digital. And so you're just hoping that you get the station. Okay? And you're hoping you can get it in. Well, in the same way, we have to tune our ears so that it's on the right frequency to connect with God. We have to make sure we can hear Him. So what are some things we can do? Well, three things, three pills. First, be available for God to talk with you. Be available for God to talk with you. We have to make sure that we are there. Isn't that kind of what it's saying? Hey, if you got ears to hear, listen. So be available. There are many times we let all kinds of other things get in our way. We let all kinds of other, and sometimes they're not necessarily things that are wrong, but they're coming in and pushing out God. Be available for God to talk with you. Daniel. In Daniel, the book of Daniel, Daniel expressed his overwhelming desire to hear God. He wanted to hear God so much that all other desires in Daniel chapter 10 became secondary. It says that he didn't want to eat. He didn't want to drink. It says he didn't even want to cleanse himself. All he could think about in Daniel 10 was hearing from God. Now, how important is it for you to hear from God? Is it only when there's a crisis? When there's a crisis, oh, Lord, help me. That's why, from crisis to crisis. That's the only time you talk with God. Well, I can tell you this, there is a much sweeter way to be a Christian. Much sweeter way to enjoy fellowship with God. And it's not crisis time. It's sitting at the feet of Jesus day after day and putting other things aside and saying, God, I am free for you to talk with me. Nothing else is going to get in the way. But everything gets in your way. Everything gets in your way. Push it aside. Be available for God to talk with you. Daniel wanted to hear from God so much that it consumed him. And you'll hear from God when it starts consuming you. We sing the song, right? How long has it been? How long has it been since you really heard from Him? Have you even missed it? Have you even got to the point that you have heard from Him? Because once you get to the place that you hear God's voice, you'll be lonely without it. You will. You'll miss it. You'll miss hearing His voice. The second B is, first one was be available. The second one is be determined to obey what God tells you to do. Be determined to obey what God tells you to do. That's found in our text in Matthew 13 and verse 23. But he that receives seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it, which also bears fruit. So what is the progression? Progression, I hear it, I understand it, then I go and act upon it, and I bear fruit. You know why some of you never are in the process of hearing? Right? You're spiritually hard of hearing because God told you something to do, and you haven't done it. And so God has stopped and He said, wait, I told you to do this. Now I know this in child rearing. I can get stubborn in the area of a father and say, we are not moving. We're not doing anything until you get this. Do you think God is any different as our father? If as frail human beings, frail fathers, fleshly fathers, we get our nap up and we say, hey, this isn't going to happen in our home. Do you think God gets irritated with you and I when He's told us things to do and we act like we hear and we're not following through? You know that's true. You know it's true. God wants us to be determined to obey him. The story is told, it's a funny story, of a boy who was playing outside. His mother called him to dinner. She called him to dinner again. She called him to dinner again. Finally, he finished playing. He walked in and he said, "Hey, Mom, hey, I'm here for dinner." Mom looked at him and said, "Hey, why didn't you come in?" And he said, "Mom, I didn't hear you the first three times that you called me." Now guess what? Yay did, because you just counted him out for me. You know how many times I told you. But guess what? He didn't want to do it. And we are silly, just like that. We come to God, and we come to God after we're in a crisis, and we say, "God, I didn't think this was going to happen." And I think God says, "I told you." And you turn to God and say, "I didn't hear you when you said in the Bible." Yeah, because he already told you. He already told you. We have a tendency to treat God. All right, some of you, I'm sorry, older folks, I'm going to go into a techno thing here and just turn to your neighbor, look it up. Oh, maybe you couldn't look it up on Google. Our favorite is Wikipedia, you know what I mean? But we treat God like an MP3 player or an iPod. Now, what do we mean by that? Sometimes in fact, on Monday I was driving, and so I was like, oh, I was listening to a book, listening to a sermon, and I thought, well, you know what, I'll listen to some music. I turned on an album, put it on my auxiliary. Oh, some of you are gone right there. And I was like, nah, I don't like that song. Don't like that one. But we treat God like that. We're like, you know what? Well, wait a minute, God. I know you told me this, but let me fast forward. No. I'm going back to that one. No, you can't. God is not some iPod. He's not some player of, some music holder that we can skip around and just decide what we want to do and what we don't want to do. That's not how we treat God. He is God. He's holy. He's righteous. He's our Savior. We should bow before Him, give obeisance to Him, and follow exactly what He tells us to do. We got to be determined to obey what God tells us to do. The last pill. Be available. Be determined to obey. Thirdly, be diligent to remove obstacles. In our text, it's the parable of the sowers. We know in the parable of the sowers that some went on the wayside, some went on stony ground, some went by thorns and thistles. So what is that helping us understand? The parable of the sower, when you study parables, there's one main meaning. Jesus explained the main meaning. The main meaning was the seed is the word of God, and basically, it's the parable of the soils. Parable of the soils. You have four different types. Good ground, stony ground, wayside, and thorny. So in essence, we know that Jesus, it explains all of it, but in essence, it's the parable of the soils. And so what is one of the meanings? Remove the bad things. Prepare your heart. Be diligent that bad things don't get in your heart and they stop you from hearing God. You know it does. Some of you get caught up in a romance novel. Now, I hope some of you older folks don't get caught up in a romance novel, but if you do, grow up. Be mature. But some of you teenagers, you just like, oh, this won't hurt me. You reading about a Christian dating an unsaved boy? Oh, that doesn't hurt me. Oh, really? That is getting in. It's thorns. It's thistles. It's getting in your heart, and the seed of the Word of God goes in. And what happens to it? That stuff comes in, and the Bible says it chokes it. Chokes it out. Some of you, all you think about is money, materialism. Who cares about it? And so what you are is you're a walking con artist. You're trying to look around in the church and seeing the next person you can con. You're a heathen. You're materialistic. And that's in your heart. And you don't even know that the seed of the Word of God is null and has none effect. You're choking everything out. It's choked it all out and it's taken over and it's wrapped its vines around your throat. Because materialism, media can do that. Some of you can't live without your phone. You can't live without being on the internet. Someone recently was saying that, hey, oh, I read this on the internet. Oh, really? I read a lot of stuff about you too. I really believe it all. So now that's what I do. I sit around because I don't have anything worthwhile to do. So I just browse the internet. You're foolish. You're opening up your heart. And you're letting all that filth get inside and they will take root. Be diligent to remove obstacles. It could be books, wrong media. It could be Bible versions. It could be all kinds of stupid things. But notice in our text in Matthew 13, notice verse 16. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, why? He's talking to his disciples, because they hear. What does he say? Blessed means happy. You want to be happy as a Christian? Tune your ears into God. That'll make you happy. There was a naturalist that was walking with his friend through New York City one time. And he stopped suddenly. This naturalist. I mean, New York City, think of Chicago. I mean, the hustle, bustle, loud noises. This naturalist was walking. He stopped with his friend and said, whoa. Did you hear that cricket? The guy just turned to him and started laughing. And he said, of course not. I think I heard the horn, the lights, the yelling. I heard all kinds of things, but I didn't hear a cricket. You didn't hear a cricket with all the roar of the traffic. He said, but I did. I hear a cricket. He said, you did not actually hear a cricket. Certainly. He said, I spend my time listening to nature. Whether I'm in the forest, in the field, in town, everyone here's something. He walked over and there was a rock and he picked up the rock and underneath was a cricket. He turned around and he said, everybody hears something. He pulled out a wad of coins and threw them on the ground. You know what happened. Everybody went, phoom, turned. And he made his point. He said, guess what they're listening to? It's the same with you. You don't hear God's voice because you're not trying. You could. The God of Elijah, he's still our God. God of John the Baptist, he's still our God. Paul. And in fact, the Bible says we have a more sure word of prophecy. Then Peter and all the disciples think of Peter there in the transfiguration and he was there with Jesus. He saw him in his divinity. And he said in Peter, and I think he was referring back to that because you can see it referenced. He said, we have a more sure word than what I saw. You can hear God's voice, but we have to get rid of our spiritual hard of hearing. Heads bowed, eyes closed.